This is Talking Business. Joining me now is Ryan Levin, the Managing Director of Wingate, which is a property firm. G'day, Ryan. Thanks for joining me.
G'day, Alan.
Now, tell us what Wingate does.
Alan, Wingate does a number of things. Property is one of our businesses, currently the most active of our businesses, and I jointly run our property business. We invest in property at various levels of the capital structure, and most of what we do, certainly in today's climate, is debt.
You mean you invest in debt?
Correct. So we lend to property owners or property developers.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. And you've been getting a fair bit of demand for your lending recently, I guess.
Well, we have. One of the questions I get asked often is what we think about the property market and where that's at, and how the general view is that we're near the top of the cycle, and how does that impact what we do? I think we agree that we are near the top of the property cycle, though that's a generalization. But the banks have pulled right back on their lending under pressure from APRA, and that's left a very big debt gap, a very big funding gap in the market. So as a non-bank lender, we've stepped right into that space.
Where do you get your funds from?
Our funds are a combination of a number of sources. Wingate balance sheet is a key part of it, as well as our shareholders, executives and directors. And then we have private high net worth investors and a small number of institutions.
What's the size of your book?
Current book's about $700 million.
Right. And how much of that is residential apartments?
Probably half, Alan.
And the rest is what, commercial property?
The rest ranges from land, commercial property, retail property. So fairly broad spectrum.
I guess the crucial question, particularly in relation to residential apartments, is what's the loan-to-value ratio?
It depends on where we're lending and in what circumstances we're lending. But when we lend to a residential apartment developer, we're funding part of the development cost. And typically that development will be pre-sold before we come in. So our risk is really limited to the construction period. We either lend senior debt, in which case we have a first mortgage over the development, or mezzanine debt, where we have a second mortgage over the development behind a bank. The pre-sales mean that as soon as it's finished, the lenders get repaid and the developer is at the pointy end, really, where their equity and profit is in the last apartments.
I suppose, so what I'm asking is what's the amount of equity you're demanding from the developers?
Typically 20% or so.
Right. And what sort of interest rate do you charge for first and second mortgage?
It really depends on the circumstance. We don't compete with the banks, so our interest rates tend to be double-digit interest rates, typically sort of 12 or 13 for senior debt and probably 16, 17 for mezzanine debt.
And I guess the point from the developer's point of view, they can afford that kind of interest rate because they're turning it over fairly quickly. They're not sitting there with that debt sitting on their books for years.
That's exactly right. We see ourselves as a funding partner to the developer, and our debt is effectively, from their perspective, cheap equity. It's there for a relatively short period of time, to your point. And it means that they're able to spread their equity across more projects to grow their business.
So have you been changing what you're prepared to lend on recently?
We're always cautious, Alan. One of the key things we look at is risk and understanding risk. I'm an actuary by background, so that's quite important to me personally. But Wingate as a firm is pretty cautious. So we've always been careful about what we lend against, who we lend to, what the end product is. If the worst came to the worst, would we be happy to own it? And so I think
I'm wondering if you're getting out of very high rise into more boutique apartments. I've heard that a number of lenders have been doing that. And also whether you've been getting out of Brisbane and back into Melbourne and perhaps Sydney.
We haven't. So Melbourne CBD very high rise, very high density apartments is something we've never done. It's something we've never been comfortable with, and still don't, while there's been a lot of money made in that space historically. Brisbane's an interesting part of the country. There's a lot of talk about oversupply in Brisbane. We're very cautious about Brisbane at the moment. But Gold
Coast when you say very cautious, are you lending at all in Brisbane?
We don't have much exposure in Brisbane at all at the moment.
And what about Gold Coast, you were going to say?
Well, Gold Coast, we actually think, is at a very different place in the cycle. Gold Coast has had next to no residential development since the GFC up until the last couple of years. And all the excess supply in the market was absorbed in that period. In the interim, there's been infrastructure.
Oh, so you think there might be a shortage in Gold Coast now?
Well, we think it's on the up at the moment. Gold Coast typically has shorter cycles than elsewhere, and so I don't think we'd be heavily exposed more than in the short term, but we do think it's on the up. There's a lot of good things happening there.
A lot of what people are talking about now is the settlement risk prospect for developers in particular. Are you seeing any failure to settle now?
We've seen not much failure at all. We've had probably 2,000 apartments settle in the last 9-odd months. We've seen some slowdown. So typically once a development's complete, there's a notice period given to purchasers to settle. We have seen a number of settlements occur very quickly, but the last few we've seen requests for extensions and dragged out settlement timeframes, but very little in the way of fallover. In fact, if you look at the fallover rates overall, not much higher than it's been historically while there have been extensions.
And is there any difference in fallover rates between foreign investors, in particular Chinese and Australian?
Not at all. There has been, the slowdown has been more significant for offshore investors while they get their money into the country or arrange debt. But the desire to settle is certainly there. And the settlements are occurring from what we've seen.
Huh. So what's your view broadly then of the property market, in particular apartments? Are you concerned about it?
I think our view is that we are near the top of the cycle, but we're not concerned that we're in a bubble. We're not concerned that there's a
crash. Are we near in the sense that it's ahead of us or behind us?
Oh, that's the key question, isn't it? I think we're 5-2 or 5-past, somewhere thereabout. But I think there's population growth that underpins the demand side, and therefore that we won't see a crash.
You won't see a crash?
I don't believe so.
So, but you are, I mean, is it fair to say that you are becoming more cautious?
Again, we've been cautious all along. We continue to be cautious. We are more cautious in areas that don't appeal to us, where we see risks that we don't like. We'll stay away from those because we co-invest in everything we do. If we don't like the risk, we don't do it.
I suppose the other thing that affects your business is the behaviour of the banks and whether they ever get back into the business. Do you think they're out of it permanently?
Oh, they're certainly not out permanently. Banks have to lend. That's how they make money. It's a cycle too. At the moment, they're under pressure to pull back on their lending. That creates a big opportunity for us. But it's a space where I think there'll always be opportunity, and it's a matter of picking the right aspects in the right place.
It's interesting. In the past, the way the banks have got back into businesses that they've got out of is by buying the businesses, the smaller businesses that jumped into it, have they not?
That certainly has been a phenomenon in the past and something I suppose to watch in the future.
Because there's several businesses that they're out of. One is the development funding that you're in, but also small business lending and in fact even personal loan lending to some extent. So
well,
there's a whole
right.
lot of different lending types that they've got out of. Well, and they've become building societies in a way, haven't they?
Yeah, and Wingate takes advantage of that in a few different ways. So we actually have a consumer finance business too, which is...
Oh, that's just not something you're running.
Correct.
You're in the property business, but they've got consumer finance, right?
Correct, and that's taking advantage of, to your point, the banks really not being focused on personal loans either. So we're looking to take market share away from them in that space.
So maybe one day you'll sell to the banks.
You never know. But we're having a lot of fun building an interesting business.
Great to talk to you, Ryan. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Alan.
I've been talking to Ryan Levin, who's the head of property lending at Wingate.